Right, welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jalisas, we welcome you once again to the car program. And we'd like to welcome our guest, Abdul Haq Atsada. Brother Adil Mia will be joining us later, inshallah. Abdul Haq, brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan, Mawlana, once again for the opportunity. Inshallah, we will try and assist whoever we can, inshallah, with whatever questions they have regarding their motor vehicles. Mawlana, we're ready, inshallah. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, inshallah, jazakumullah, Abdul Haq. Yes, we're having a lovely, massive family braai, and, the food is just about to be served, the lacquer chops and whatever you had to leave and come.
You had to leave and come, eh?
Yeah, so the body is here, the mind is in the braai.
Gee, Mawlana, I hope you got a taste on your tongue as well.
All right, anyway, inshallah, we'll join them later. Abdul Haq, jazakumullah for your time, my brother. Genesis, it's your phone-in program. Give us a call on the number, 011-854-1548. And the WhatsApp number is 0825-8080-70, 0825-8080-70. And also the other alternate number, that is, the WhatsApp number is 488-55, inshallah. We're waiting for the calls to come through. All right, we continue, Abdul Haq. The first question coming through for tonight's program, the brother's got a Honda Civic. He says there is a dragging metal tin sound while driving. The car never had an accident, well maintained, 150 on the clock. First there was a loud sound when driven, louder than usual. The brother says, I thought it was a silencer, but I looked underneath and I saw nothing. When I drove it the next time, I started hearing these dragging sounds coming from the back. Could it be the wheel bearing? What he says, I noticed 3 days ago when I was driving on the street that the check engine light is now on. Neither any or other warning light. Any information on this?
Yeah, Mawlana, very, very interesting question. Got a noise in the back, check engine management light coming on. It's rather strange for something like that, for a front-wheel drive vehicle.
Isn't something maybe possibly rubbing against the brake rotors?
Gee, this is what I'm actually coming down to. But I just wanted to clarify, firstly, as far as the check engine light is coming on, it's more than likely not related to the sound that is coming from the rear. That is what I really needed to clarify first, Mawlana. But gee, if there is any light that has to come on from the back wheels, that would be the ABS light, because you have ABS braking on the back as well. There's a sensor there, and that could be creating an issue, which putting a yellow light on, and that would say ABS. But nonetheless, a noise from the rear, especially, as far as the Hondas are concerned, they've got what we call a metal clip on the brake pad itself that would give you a warning prior to the brake pads wearing down from metal onto metal. Because what happens there is they don't have an electronic sensor on those vehicles. So when the brake pad comes down to roughly, I've seen people do about 500 to 1,000 kilometers, maybe on those sort of conditions where the brake pad is worn to a point where it actually touches on, the clip touches on the brake rotor or the disc, we refer to as the disc, and that makes a sort of metallic, very metallic sound. And that is more than likely what the brother is picking up on the Honda.
Okay, jazakumullah. We continue. The brother's got a question. He doesn't say what exactly. He's got an old Toyota Land Cruiser, lovely for the bush. G.
Very nice one, very nice.
Lovely, strong Bucky's G.
Brilliant
G. The brother doesn't say much. He just says he's, he's had a timing chain replacement, and he's had problems since then.
Replacement and he has problems since then.
Yeah, but that doesn't say what problem.
Doesn't specify what sort of problem he has with the vehicle. That makes it a bit difficult. But yeah, what I would say, timing chain, as far as the timing chain is concerned, the main or the most likely issue he will have is that the timing is incorrect. When we say timing incorrect, we mean the physical timing, the actual mechanical timing, rather, if I could say, the mechanical timing on the vehicle is probably incorrect. Simply because what happened is maybe the chain was fitted and the camshafts were not 100% aligned with the crankshaft in the bottom of the engine, and that would give you some sort of problem as far as starting is concerned, power is concerned in the vehicle, maybe even a bit of a misfiring. And in some vehicles, if it is a little bit more out than that, you will actually end up bending the valves on the vehicle. The only thing I can suggest is, before going any further, looking at any other issues or putting on diagnostics and things like that, I would suggest that you first have a look at the timing, the cam timing, as far as the chain and the camshaft is concerned. If all that is in line, then obviously we can look further. But like you say, he's having problems with the car since the timing chain was done. More than likely, the timing is out. So, yeah, mechanical timing.
Jazakumullah. Let's welcome on line number two, brother Adil Mia. Adil, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, good friend.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Moana and Hafiz Abdullah and all our listeners. Jazakallah for the opportunity again. Most of the long time we've been away.
Gee. Nice. Jazakallah for joining us tonight. Looking forward to spending the next 40 minutes in your company. Adil.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah,
you know, Maulana Maaf, you know, we got to refer to him as Nana Adil.
I was about to say, should I say it or shouldn't I say it?
You know, you can say Nana Adil. He's proud to be a Nana.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a beautiful grandson.
Lucky, Baba, long life, inshallah. Piety, taqwa, and all of the best, inshallah.
Ameen.
Keep giving your dua, inshallah.
Ameen, Jazakallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
All right, to continue, how does it feel to be a Nana Adil? You feel a bit old, you feel important, you feel happy?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah, one is to see your children get born, and one is to see your children give birth to children. That's an amazing feeling. All the ni'mat from Allah, Jazakallah. Really a good feeling, Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but now it's too late for a second wife as well, Adil. You're a Nana
now. Alhamdulillah.
Those days are gone.
Jazakallah.
All right, dear listeners, Brother Adil Mia is here with us as well, inshallah. We had quite a bit of questions last week pertaining to Mercedes-Benz. Yes, Adil is back with us. Call us on 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number, inshallah, for tonight is 0825-808070. That's also the SMS number, 48855. We're waiting for the calls to come through, inshallah. But call us live in the program, 011-854-1548. We're waiting for the SMSs as well as the calls to come through, inshallah. Let's continue, brothers. All right, this brother says he's got a, it says an Opel Meriva. The problem with this car was, he says, the top, was it known to give problems regarding the head, Adil?
The Opel Meriva, not much knowledge on the Meriva, but I don't know. I think Hafiz Abdullah is more likely on that one. He's the Opel specialist. He does a lot of them. He's the right guy to answer the question. Once I'm with the Opel Meriva, to be honest, I don't think they were very popular.
No.
Yeah, so I haven't really much experience on that one.
In fact, a brother is quoting us from the gentleman where he wants to buy it from, somewhere in the Pretoria area. They want, it's a 2006 model, I think they want 24,000. It's very, very cheap, I must say. But he just wanted to know regarding, you know, Abdul Haq, maybe you can tell us more about the car. Is it a good buy? Is it expensive to maintain? Did it have head problems? Tell us more.
Jimona, a very, very good thing that brother is doing is making inquiries prior to buying something. Meriva, as you guys mentioned earlier on, not a very, very popular vehicle. Unfortunately, rather expensive on maintenance as well. And the other thing, yes, they did have some sort of overheating problem. You know, we've worked on a couple of them, but as I said, not very, very popular vehicles. Maintenance is rather expensive, but the price of the vehicle is what's concerning me, you know, that the brother wants to buy. The price seems rather low for a vehicle like that. So, you know, if the seller is unwilling to you know, let him know what exactly is wrong with the vehicle, then I think he should keep away from something like that.
Okay, Jazakumullah. We continue. The other question coming through, Brother Adil, is that what causes the gear indicator light on the dashboard to be blinking?
Also, the gear indicator light on the dashboard represents that there's some malfunction taking place in the gearbox. Maybe a solenoid, or maybe a sensor, or maybe the oil level also, or maybe the gearbox itself. So diagnostic test should be carried out in the vehicle. Very common on Hondas. I know in the Honda gearboxes start to trouble the D light flashes on the cluster. So simple indication that the gearbox should be attended to. So a diagnostic test can be carried out, and the fault could be read, and then the necessary repairs can be taken as far as it is concerned. Also.
Okay. Under this question for you, it says, my brother, the EC on my climate control stays on. The aircon will not work because of this.
Jumazab, there's actually a safety feature on the aircon. So there's no gas in the aircon. The E, on the thermal control, the E light will stay on, telling you that the aircon should be checked also. So basically like a check indicator light coming on the aircon. Also on modern day cars, a diagnostic tool can be plugged in and checked into reset, and aircon gas should be further in. Most of the cars for aircon compressor protection, if there's no gas in the system, it switches off the system to protect the compressor and other components regarding to the air conditioning system. So basically the aircon gas should be checked, filled up, and then rechecked with a diagnostic machine. Most of the cars today, I know Mercedes cars, if there's not enough gas in the system, it also puts the same light on, and then the aircon stops working. tons of gas, you filled up the system and reset, and then you're on your way again.
Okay, JazakAllah. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number for tonight is 082-580-8070. That is also the number to send your messages through, inshallah. Abdul Haq, the question coming through. Okay, let's take our caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah.
Abdul Haq, the Toyota Tez, the camber was done on 194,000.
Yeah.
And it's standing on 270 at the moment. When must I do it?
Then you should change it, Abdul Haq.
Gee, 190, if it's done at 194, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, 194. So basically, you just got to come 100,000 kilometers from there. And, the closest service that comes to your next 100,000 kilometers is when you should replace the camber. The other thing is, with the new system that they've come now, if the camber is 5 years old, then it should be replaced as well. So if you don't do 100,000 kilometers in 5 years, you must replace the camber. Or else, if you get into 100,000 kilometers, you will replace the camber. So whenever your last camber was replaced, I'm very glad that the brothers actually made note of the kilometers when the last camber was done, because most people don't remember or don't take this into consideration, that when the next camber needs to be replaced, you must make sure the mileage is roughly about 100,000 kilometers.
So it's about 194, it's about something to 80,000 at the moment.
Yeah, maybe just safety sake, you can do it, my brother. It costs about 200 rands for the camber.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. But at that high mileage, also remember to make sure that the camber tensioner as well. You got to replace the camber tensioner as well.
Okay, JazakAllah.
JazakAllah, my brother.
Yes, you're more than welcome.
Lovely cars and cheap to maintain.
Thank you.
We continue, inshallah. Adil, the question coming through, it says that, let's take this one here. I have a 2006 Mazda 3. It's a 4-cylinder, I think 2-litre. When I turn the key to start, it hesitates. There is a clicking noise. Starter problems.
You must have the very likely sound like a starter problem. Maybe the starter motor or solenoid is sticking. That's the only solution I can come to that was for that problem. Must have very, very likely the starter motor problem.
Okay. I think what happened, somebody asked this question a few days ago also regarding the Mazda 3. What actually, I think if I got the question right, was he says that there was a bit of a brief clicking noise in the dashboard when starting the car.
So there could be another thought comes to my mind on those cars. If it's a manual car, the clutch pedal has to be depressed for the car to start. I think that's a safety feature on most modern day cars now. I know they are common on Hondas and some of the more Korean cars like the Hyundais and the Kias. So I think the clicking noise is here in the dashboard is probably when it's inserting the key in the ignition to turn it on, the click probably to release the clutch, the clutch release lever to engage the starter motor. So maybe that's the clicking noise right here in. Or maybe inserting the key and turning it on, the clicking noise could be coming from recognizing the key also. Or the steering locked and released, that also could be heard. But I think most likely, the guy with the starter motor problem could be that maybe he's not detaching the clutch hard enough, or maybe the switch on the clutch pedal to release the starter motor could be faulty also.
Okay, JazakAllah. Abdul Haq, the question coming through, it says the brother's got a sensor, it has a bit of a rough idle happening intermittently. What could be the most likely culprit?
Most likely culprit, Jimurana. A bit of rough idle intermittently. On the sensors, we found more than likely it is a idle control solenoid which is actually housed on the inlet manifold. And a lot of times, due to some sort of grime, dirt, or dust that have collected within the component, you get some sort of sticking, and intermittently you will get a rough idle. What we suggest sometimes is to remove the idle solenoid. You've got two air pipes coming, one coming in, one going out. Obviously, leading your inlet vacuum manifold. And you just put a carburetor cleaner or accelerator throttle housing cleaner, and most of the times you do have joy out of that. But unfortunately, if there's an electrical fault within that system, then you're going to have to replace the idle control solenoid, and that more than likely would be able to sort your intermittent rough idle out.
Okay, JazakAllah. Number to call again for the program, a reminder, it's 011-854-1548. And the WhatsApp number is also 0825-8080-70. And if you want to come live on the program, give us a call on 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548. Adil, the brothers got a Mercedes C220, the older ones. It's a 95 model. It's automatic. The brother says he's got a bit of a jerk while driving at high speed. What could be the problem?
You must have on a C220, but there could be lots of factors leading to the jerk at high speed, Musa. I think the most common thing that comes to my mind now is on those cars can be the coil can be a problem, Musa. The spark plugs could be another reason, the spark plug wires. And the other common problem on those cars, the wiring harnesses on those cars are a big problem. They tend to get brittle when they get older in the older years, and then the wires start shorting out and causing a jerk. So those cars are relatively easy to sort of mount up. They are not very difficult. They're very straightforward vehicles. They're very economical vehicles also to maintain. So basically a diagnostic test can also be carried out on that vehicle and the result being read and rectified in that way.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Ford Focus. Brothers, anyone want to tackle this question here? I have a 2006 Focus with a 2-liter engine, and it has an idling problem, or maybe called an engine decking problem. I changed the TIPS, I changed the airflow sensor, I put a new vacuum hose on the back of the intake, and I then replaced, the brother says, the throttle body. It still idles high after being driven. What could be the problem?
Well, I'll give it a try, inshallah. On the Ford Focus itself, you say he has replaced the accelerator throttle housing as well, huh?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned that he's replaced that as well. You know, on the Ford, more than likely, most of the time, I found it was either a mechanical vacuum leak on the inlet side, or there was an issue with the ECU, but you don't mention whether the engine management light or engine check light is on. So, you know, it's going to be a bit of an issue for me to sort that out because, you know, if the engine light is on, I can tell you more or less the electrical components you look at is on the accelerator throttle housing. When you replace it, did you replace it with the little, it's got a little switch on the side for the accelerator throttle housing, which actually sends a reading to the ECU. If that hasn't been replaced with the throttle housing, because it doesn't come with the throttle housing, if that hasn't been replaced with the throttle housing, then obviously you must look at that little switch on the accelerator throttle housing. Otherwise, obviously, yes, the other thing you can look at is the vacuum leak on the inner manifold side. I know there's a lot of times with the Ford Focus especially, you know, when you have a vacuum leak, it doesn't actually just hunt. What happens is it just pushes its idling up full, and that could be an issue as well. And like I mentioned earlier on, that vehicle also has what we call a idle control solenoid on the inlet manifold, and maybe you should have a look at it as well.
Adil, what would cause fuel to get in the oil?
Come again, I think it's correctly nothing.
What would actually cause the petrol to get into the oil?
Petrol to get into the oil, most of the most common problem of that is the leaking injector. If the car is a fuel injector car, if it's a carburetor car, too much fuel seeping through the carburetor, a faulty carburetor can cause the... So basically the fuel will leak into the cylinder, go past the rings and the compression rings and fall into the oil. That is the most common thing that will happen, Mossad. And I think that's the only solution you can have a problem with.
Jazakumullah. Adil, based on Mercedes question, somebody asked, what is the difference between the C220 and the C230? It doesn't say what models.
Most of the only C220 and C230 that were out there, the C220, okay, the later ones, I won't go into the later ones, but the earlier ones, the C220 was a normal 2.2 liter, the C230 was a C230 compressor. They had a supercharger engine built to the chassis to give you more performance and more power if he's talking about that one. The C220, which I can think of on that time, was a 2.2 liter, and then you got a C230, which actually replaced the C220. So basically, only the C230 was a more powerful engine, was a more economical engine. It was a less problematic engine, like you mentioned earlier, the C220, the one that was jerking, that all was eliminated, and the C230 basically replaced the C220, and even in the C230, you got a C230 with a compressor supercharger. It improved the power and torque on the vehicle. So basically, it was in a nutshell, most of the difference between the C220 and the C230.
Jazakumullah. Number to call again, a reminder, it's 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is 0825-8080-70. And yes, we're waiting for the calls and the SMSs to come through, inshallah. The question states here, oil keeps getting into my coolant, into the radiator. The brother replaced the radiator a few times. He flushed it twice, but the same result, oil keeps getting into his radiator.
So what vehicle is this one,
I don't know.
That's the question. See, that's very, very difficult because different different vehicles have different sort of sicknesses or ailments or diseases, whatever you want to call it. You know, a lot of times something like that, if your oil is getting into the if your oil is getting into the water, then you have a problem on your water jacket or a blown cylinder head gasket. You know, something like that. Like you have with the Mercedes, especially, I think Brother Ali will bait me here, on the 271 engines, where the O-ring at the back of the, you know, on the front cover would give you an issue, that would allow oil to get into your water. I don't know if you can think of something else. I mean, it's just, to me it's very, very, or the other issue you have also is, as far as the oil cooler is concerned, with the vehicles, we've got a little oil cooler that sits there at the oil filter housing. If that is faulty as well, you can pick up those sort of issues as far as your oil getting into the water. So I don't think it is just a matter of that. The other thing that comes to mind as well, Moana, is an automatic vehicle. You know, it's got an automatic transmission. You have a oil cooler for the automatic transmission fluid, which runs through the radiator. It uses the radiator for cooling the transmission oil. And if there is a crack or a fault within that oil cooler, you're still going to get oil into your water. But then obviously you will find that there's a problem with your gear change.
Okay. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Maaf. We have a 2007 VW Caravelle. We sent it to VW Indonesia. They changed front and back plates and discs. But the car still shudders when you're stopping from high speed. The problem is not with VW, but they can't pick up what the problem is. Can the brother please help us?
Okay, inshallah.
Have you changed both the front and the back discs as well? Hello, bye.
Did you change the discs, both front and back?
Gee, we did change front and back.
Discs and the pads.
Gee.
Well, then obviously you've got to start looking for some sort of play within your suspension itself. You know, obviously you say when you're applying the brakes, you get in the shutter. I would look at, you know, the end play on the steering itself. Also, the other thing I would look at is the wheels, the tires themselves. If there is some sort of unevenness on the tires also, you can pick that up from the braking. Or look at your suspension components, especially in the front. But more than likely, a lot of times people sort of tend to look past the rear suspension, and I have found a couple of times that yes, if your wheel bearing is excessive play, you will pick something up like that as well.
Brother, okay. A quick question for you, mate. Are you when you feel in the shadow, are you feeling the shadow on your foot, or are you feeling the shadow on the steering wheel?
We feel it on the steering, and on that point, we change front shocks, we put new tires. And they checked, we changed the steering wheel pump even, the power steering pump, and they checked every rod, what tie rod and ends of steering box, and the computer, and they're not picking up anything. That's wrong. So
if you feel in the shadow on the steering wheel, you've got a suspension problem.
Yeah.
If you feel in the shadow on your foot, you've got a brake shadow problem. So what you should do is,
it's on the steering,
it's whatever challenge you have, but it can be rectified. When I worked for Mercedes-Benz, I had an E-Class. It was an E280 to the W210 series. It also had a similar shadow you were talking about. We changed the brake. We changed the wheel bearing carrier and the wheel bearings. And the problem was solved. I'm not saying your problem is the same thing, but maybe let them have a look at that.
Okay, but now tell me with regards to bearings, you have to change it to see if that could be the problem, or is there a way of checking it?
There is a way of checking it, but I don't think that any dealership or anyone has the equipment. There's actually a special roller that you will drive the car on. And then when you apply the brake, you'll see the lateral play on the wheel, which way it's moving. Back to front, left to right, whichever way. But that equipment is very expensive, you see. I don't think many people invest in equipment like that. I know in overseas countries, do you have equipment like that to test things like that? But I know it's a bit of a challenge and it can be a bit of costly, but how severe is the brake shadow? Is it severe?
Look, the shadow is severe if you're driving from, if you're stopping from 120 or 100, say from 100, and any speed higher when you stop, the shadow is quite bad. And it's a big car, so, you know, if you have a very emergency stop, it is a problem.
Brother, is the VW doing all his work under their cost or is it under your cost?
No, it's under our cost, but you know what, we know them personally, so they don't find the problem, they don't charge us, but that's not the thing is, we want the car to get fixed, whether they charge or they don't charge.
Okay, so, VW, so got involved?
No, they haven't got involved.
So maybe you should put it out on a bulletin there. I know the owner of VW is Lanesia, so maybe you should ask him or the dealer principal or the workshop manager to get VW South Africa involved. So maybe it's a thing that can occur to other caravels as well. So maybe you can be like the starting point to solve the problem, or maybe yours is a one-off case. The other way is that if you can bring the VW past me, I can drive it for you, I can maybe assist you in trying to tell you where it comes from, because I have some experience with shuttle like it.
Okay, and can I ask you, or should I hold the line?
Yeah, they'll give you my details. You can just ask the, most of them can ask the...
Gee, sure, inshallah.
What I can do for him, I can actually drive the van for him, also maybe give him a guidance.
Yeah, please do, Adil.
Well, I have some experiences with the shuttle in, and you know, I when I worked for Mercedes, I used to specialize in them.
Gee.
So inshallah, maybe we can assist the brother, not a problem.
I'm sure my brother, inshallah, Adil will be able to help you.
And try and see if we can guide you to the problem. It's a very interesting one. You see, the shuttle is very severe. I can pick it up for you immediately. But if it's very slight and not all the time, then it's difficult.
But it is quite severe.
Yeah, if it's quite severe, inshallah, I think we can come to the problem.
Okay. Brother, we're going to leave. You can just hold on, inshallah. Hafiz Ismail will give you Hafiz, brother Adil's number, his cell phone number. But don't trouble him tonight. He's a nana. Remember, he's playing with his baba today, okay? Call him tomorrow.
No problem.
On Monday. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, so the brother's got a Mercedes-Benz 124. Adil, he wants to know, where is the aircon unit located?
Most of the aircon unit, you mean the aircon component is built into the panel. So basically, on the 124 Mercedes, you had the aircon unit was built into the panel and you had an aircon relay. It sits behind the battery. The aircon relay was the most common problem on those cars when the aircon didn't work. It's an excellent motor vehicle. Most of the, Abdullah can vouch for me on that one.
Definitely.
The car never ever gave you trouble. It ran forever and ever and it's still running. So, yeah, alhamdulillah, whoever's driving the car, look after it. And the most common problem on those cars, the aircon panel is, aircon control unit is built into the panel, and then the aircon relay is behind the battery. So those are the two most common things that went wrong on those cars. Another thing is leaking pipes on the aircon, on the aircon side. That was another common thing. But very rarely you got the aircon compressor giving you trouble like today's modern day cars and things like it.
Abdulhaq, the question, my brother, what happens once the timing belt in a car breaks? All right, the engine dies, but what happens? Does it cause major damage to the engine?
See, well, it depends on certain vehicles. If you look at the older VW Golfs, you know, if the cam belt snapped, the way the engine was designed, your valves would not touch on the piston, and with the result, you wouldn't have any valves bending. But, you know, nowadays, most of the vehicles, you know, it is also speed-related, but not necessarily. You know, most of the things, the vehicles, if the cam belt snaps, you're going to cause major damage. And obviously, it's also speed-related as far as what the damages come. If you're not too fast, obviously you're going to have some valves bent and you've got to remove the cylinder head and do all those sort of things, engineering, replace the valves. But if it is given at quite a, you know, the high speed with quite a smack, I have seen actually pistons crack up and with the result you have to recondition the motor and stuff like that. The other things that do happen, you know, I have seen, you know, in more severe cases is where the valve actually breaks and damages the side of the cylinder or the bore, if you want to call it, where the piston runs in. And in instances like that, you know, most of the time, if it can't be re-sleeved or you know, re-engineered, then you've got to put another block in there. So, yes, it can be with severe consequences, especially nowadays, most of the vehicles, most of them, is the timing belt or chain snaps. You're getting bent valves and you're getting some sort of engine damage, man.
All right, Jazakumullah. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number and the SMS number is 0825-80-8070. 0825-80-8070. We're waiting for the calls to come through. The brother says, you know, he needs to change the battery in the trunk, in the boot of the Mercedes-Benz Adil. one of the old Mercedes-Benz. He cannot get the trunk open, the boot open, any alternative way to open up the back seats. It's a 2004 Mercedes-Benz.
He can't get the boot open. He should try the manual key. The manual key could go into the slot and turn the key. We can't get it that way. There is a way to remove the seat, but it's going to be a bit of a complicated way. The other way, what I normally do is get the locksmith out, and they got a way of opening it. They have some special tool that they put in there. I've seen it been done. And they open it like in 10, 15 minutes, it's done. That's going to be the easiest way and the most cost-effective way. Otherwise, you have to go take seats out and cut the metal behind the seat to get in there. It's just going to be a lot of work and a lot of extra costing.
Abdul Haq, Ford Fiesta 1998 model. The brother says he was told he's got a problem with the map sensor, and I think these are common problems on the Ford Fiestas. The map sensor, maybe you can tell us what's the function of the map sensor and also the cost of replacing it.
Normally what happens with the map sensor, it reads altitude and everything else that's related to the performance of the vehicle. Normally, Marana, we just go out and go and buy a second-hand one. Most instances, people, especially with a vehicle that old, people don't want to go out and buy a new one. So, you just go out and look for a second-hand one. And prices do vary. It depends on the guy behind the counter, what's his mood like. A guy will tell you, have it to $200. Someone will tell you $500. I haven't really looked at a new one, so I'm not going to be able to give you an idea as to what a new one costs from Ford itself. But yes, it has been something that we've heard a couple of extra complaints regarding the map sensor itself. Unfortunately, there is no fixing a map sensor. You just got to replace that.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Let's take up two questions here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam. It says, what is your opinion on the 2009 Kia Sedona 2.9 CDI? It's got 200,000 kilos, selling for 95,000 rands. I don't know. You guys tell us. Adil Kia Sedona.
The only thing with a diesel engine or that mileage, that means the problems can start. If the car wasn't looked after and wasn't maintained properly, so basically the car's got a good service history and all the necessary work was done and checks were done on the car, then it's an excellent buy, because the Sedona is basically compared to the Chrysler, the Voyager and that H1, it's a multi-purpose vehicle, so that means it can seat a lot of people. So basically the secret of the diesel is the oil should have been changed regularly. So if all the oil changes were done regularly and a good oil was used, it's actually a good buy, Monsa, for 95 grand for the 2009 Sedona. I don't think it's a bad buy, but the only other best advantage that if the service wasn't done, then you can buy a lot of problems.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. This question stating, got a BMW 2003-318. Is it advisable to put some sort of injector cleaning agent in the fuel tank going to Durban? Which one would you advise? Gee, brothers want to go for the holiday.
It is advisable, myself. You can put an injector cleaner, but the one time Hafiz Abdullah mentioned that he can put the 1 liter of diesel also in the tank. That also can work well. But
1 teaspoon of ghee won't do the job.
Yeah, the teaspoon of ghee you can try, then while it's driving, then you can get the aroma of ghee coming through the exhaust, and you can eat all the patkos also. But make sure that he uses a good, approved diesel injector cleaner, because there are some on the market out there that causes more harm than any good. So that should be taken into consideration also.
Okay, Jazakallah. All right, to continue, limited time, approximately 4 minutes remaining before we terminate the program. The number to call for the program, 011-854-1548, and the WhatsApp number is 0825-8080-70G. Let's take this question here. Adil, this one is for you. The brother's got a Mercedes-Benz, the old 124 series, about a 92 model. He wants to know, what is the repair cost of the head gasket?
Gee, most of the repair cost for the head gases can vary. Like they say, there's plenty of ways you can kill the cat today. And depending on the quality of parts and who does the job and how the engineering work is done and how bad the cylinder is, what's wrong with it, it can start off from about 3,000 and can go to about 6,000 then. Most of it's basically, at 6,000 then I think you can have a good job done on it.
Okay. Okay, this brother says he's got a polo, he's got a bit of sweating when he opened up the oil cap. He wants to know, you know, how can he ascertain whether he's got a blown head gasket or not? Abdulhak?
No. See, when you say a bit of sweaty, does he look? Is there some sort of whiteness on the oil cap itself? Then obviously there must be some sort of an issue there. Fortunately, there are, you know, like you look at the Silverton radiators, especially they've got what you call, they do a chemical test on the vehicle, that's rather simple. Just drive into one of these Silverton radiator places, let them do a test for you there.
You mean a compression test?
No, not a compression test. No, they do a chemical test. It's actually a blue chemical which they use on to find out if there is any combustion going into your water system, and the chemical will obviously change to a green color, and that will give them or tell you yes, the cylinder head gasket is blown. If by chance you don't find anything like that, then yes, you'll have to do one of the other tests, you know, which we put compressed air into the piston or above the piston into the cylinder, and you check if there is any water coming out or any air bubbles coming in your cooling system, and that would determine. But I would suggest, you know, I think they charge about $100 to do a test like that. Drive into one of these centers, let them do a chemical test on the cylinder head and check if it's gone. That would be the best way, but I'm sure there must be some sort of loss of water or oil, or there must be some sort of indication as to a blown head gasket.
Let's think of a last question for tonight, Adil. From a brother, it says, in fact, the question was asked last week, and I forgot to bring it up. I've got a Mercedes Benz. Adil, are you there, my brother?
Yeah, I'm here, my
This one is for you, G. Yeah. Mercedes Benz E230, the big ones, round lights. Yeah. 1997 model, the mileage is 308,000. The problem I'm experiencing, the brother says, is that in cold weather or when the engine is still cold, it is very sluggish and difficult to speed up, to pick up speed and change into lower gears. Once the engine heats up a bit, then there is no problem. Until the car stands for another few hours, then the problem reoccurs. Another problem is that the idling is not smooth, and at times when stopping, it switches off. There is no problem in starting.
I can answer his question immediately, alhamdulillah. The problem with that car, and the most common issue they have with that car, the brother should replace the airflow meter and service his throttle body. His problem will be gone, inshallah.
Okay, so it's a throttle body, it's got a service.
Gee, it's got a service, it's throttle body.
Okay.
And then replace the airflow meter.
Yeah, gee. Replace the airflow meter. I hope the brother heard, he's from Malaysia. Service the throttle body and replace the airflow meter.
The problem is solved. That's an excellent engine. It's very economical on fuel. When you asked me earlier on the C220 and the C230, this E230 has the same engine like the C230, so it's a very economical engine. It's proven. I got them coming to the workshop, coming now close to 800,000 kilometers.
800,000
and nothing been done to the engine.
Okay.
So it's really a very good economical engine. So if anyone out there wants to buy a good Mercedes, should look at a C230 or an E230.
Okay, inshallah. Adil, jazakallah for the wonderful advice. Abdulhak, jazakallah for the advices, my brother. Much appreciated. Have a lovely weekend, inshallah. And we talk again soon. Allah bless.
Mawlana, you're going to enjoy your family right now.
Gee.
And you can have one or two extra chops for myself and brother Adil as well.
Yeah, the body is here, the mind is there in the brain, inshallah. We can enjoy it. Jazakallah, brothers. Request for du'as.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.